Amen. Thank you. No, I was not playing hooky. I was in last renewal classes, and 7 o'clock in the morning till 6:30, 7 at night. So we did get an hour and a half off for lunch, but so I was not playing hooky. Everybody hold a hand up. Do this. I need help. Help me, please. First time I've taken a live human trafficking course. We have to take that every year. I've been doing them on the computer online, but we did a live one. Much better live. This guy, he was down here from Ohio or something, came in. And the if you're around someplace, let's say you're in the grocery line, and there's a young lady or a young boy, it could be either, 71% human trafficking is women and girls. The rest of it's boys and men, actually. And the and they're standing in line, and they put their hand behind you, and they do that, thumb in. You got one that's asking for help. You do not approach them. The best thing you could do in that circumstance is follow them out and get the license plate on the car, then call it in. You can call 911 or you can call the human trafficking hotline, and they will get officers on that, start tracking that down, observing, and so forth. If you approach that person, the captor probably going to do you bodily harm, okay? So that's the reason why you don't approach them on that scene. But that was one of the things I want to just kind of pass on that. And another thing I'll pass on this evening before we get started on our spiritual aspect is the big research out, different things that helps us to survive and live a longer, full life out. Is number one, sleep. That was number one, sleep. Most Americans do not get enough sleep. And they're actually recommending 8 to 9 hours a night now, okay? So that's number one. Okay, another one is gut. So how your gut goes is how your health goes, okay? And a lot of that was about people having different food allergies and trying to recognize that and cut back on that, because that will help your overall health so your immune system's not fighting that. So big emphasis on probiotics and yogurt and all those type of things to help the gut out. So I just kind of pass that on. This evening, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7. Daniel 3, 16 through 18 talks about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not in need of an answer to give you concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods nor worship the golden statue that you have set up. Heroes, or the people of God whose fire within is greater than any fire without. And that passage really emphasizes that. What do you admire about these three? Anybody want to give me an answer on that? What do you admire about them? That's right. Stood up to them. And we've heard accounts, read accounts, about, especially wartime, that people would give themselves instead of somebody else to be executed. I know that happened in a lot of towns when the Germans went through. They would line the men up and shoot them, but the older men many times would step out and say, take us, leave the young guys out, and would readily do that for their children and grandchildren. Again, that's a hero, okay? Their heroes are all around us, okay? They were found in the pews of the church and the pages of Scripture. When you look around, there's heroes right here, okay? Okay? But they don't talk about it. Your spiritual heroes are the proof that God helps His people do extraordinary things. No matter how dark, no matter how dark the world is around us, it may seem, and right now it seems like there's a lot of things happening, and the dark is pretty dark out there, the world is. Reflecting on your heroes and the lessons from their lives will fan the flames of your heart. So because of that, we're going to look at some heroes in the Scripture. Because when things get dark, open up the Scriptures. Read about some of these heroes and what they did and how they stood up against evil. They're there, and we're going to kind of hit on some of these. What makes a hero? What do y'all think? Give me an idea. What makes a hero? Oh, come on. That's right. Okay. That's something. What else? What? Selfless. Okay. That's another one. Something else? I know y'all know. It's like watching Jeopardy, and you can't think of the answer, and by the time they say the answer, you thought, oh, that was it, you know. Brave, that can be another one. Goes beyond, okay? Goes beyond, and that can cover a lot of different areas. Anything else? Yes, sir. That's right. They're showing, right, that's showing, they're being a hero, but they're showing a lot of humility, okay? Because you read all the time, somebody's a hero, but they're going to let the world know that they're a hero, okay? Not the way Scripture means for that to be. How about generosity? They're very generous and helping people in different aspects. Kindness. A lot of people being kind to someone. Stopping and saying something to somebody, okay? Far above normal expectations. And we could probably go on, there's a lot more on that. Heroes are those who refuse to respond with the mediocrity of the time. They respond sacrificially. Wouldn't that pretty well hit the mark? This is exactly how Zacchaeus became a hero. Consider the contrast between the rich young ruler in Luke 18, 18 through 23, and Zacharias in Luke 19:1. Over in Luke 18, everybody knows this story. A ruler questioned him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" But Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept since my youth." Now when Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when he had heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely wealthy. That's a tough deal there. And then Zacharias, over in Luke 19, 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, and he was unable due to the crowd because he was short in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree in order to see him, because he was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. When the people saw this, they all began to complain, saying, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." But Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I am giving to the poor, and if I have extorted anything from anyone, I am giving back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." Now, we look at the contrast between the two. The wealthy young man, he walked away from Jesus very sad, okay, after refusing to make a big change in his priorities and lifestyle. He's one of those, he had it all. He could buy what he wanted to, go where he wanted to, do what he wanted to. So if he lost his wealth, he realized, whoa, this is going to be really a big, big difference. Then in Luke 19:10, you read about Zacchaeus. He was a small man in stature, but who was stirred with great zeal. He publicly pledged, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I'll give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." From these two men, Christians learn that heroes go big. Zacchaeus was doing all he could to make sure that he was treating people correctly, even though he was a tax collector. And back then, they hated tax collectors. It's almost that way nowadays still, isn't it? The tax collector is not the guy you want. You don't want IRS to come to your front door knocking. So it's one of these type of deals. Here Zacchaeus was trying to do what's right. The young rich ruler, he had everything, but to get right with the Lord, he was going to have to change that priority and not have the riches as a priority in his life. Regretful or rejoicing, how will you respond to the Savior? How will you respond to the Savior? Will you go as big as Zacchaeus? If you gave away half of your clothes, would you likely still have plenty to wear? If your kids gave away half of their toys, their closets would probably still be, what? Probably overflowing, overcrowded. We, middle-class Americans, are so, so rich. Many could give away half of their possessions and still live very comfortable, rich lifestyles. Will you be like the rich young ruler, or will you be like Zacchaeus? Trust the Lord and make some big changes that are good for you and for others. We was up north of Dallas in Frisco. We went to this place last year. And so we got to look around a little bit more this time. And Margie had read about it. And we went, I think it was 18 miles straight north from Frisco. It was a town named Prosper. Anybody heard of that name? Prosper, the town of Prosper. It's the fastest growing town in the U.S. right now. Okay? Big money. Most houses, was it 800,000, something like that, they start at in that area. Big housing additions popping up every place. And what's helped that place, it was just a little country town, to prosper, is ball players buying their homes up there. Because you go straight down Preston and you come to the Cowboys training facilities right there in Frisco. So it's a short drive. They can live, you know, 20 miles away and just go straight down, and they're right there at their work areas. So it's really made that place boom. I don't think there was any churches in Frisco proper or Prosper up there as far as Church of Christ type situation. But that's one of those things that people have a lot of riches. A lot of those places have big gates. You can go in unless you had your special passcode and all that stuff on that. Americans, we are so, so blessed by the Lord, but yet we don't totally use all those blessings the way we need to help others. That's something that we can all kind of think about and take a lesson from. And it's quite amazing. And in reality, you know, we're not rich. Now, when you see the ultra rich, when you get in areas like that, and see these gigantic homes that look like castles and all that type of stuff, it's just amazing. But how many of those people are Christians? Don't find too many, unfortunately, because they're like the young rich ruler. They allow that to take over their lives, unfortunately. When celebrities walk the red carpet, adoring fans focus on their fame, their fortune, their physique. Millions of fans adore them, think they have it all. They receive so much attention that we call them superstars, or at least the media does. But real heroes are different. While celebrities inspire admiration or even jealousy, true heroes inspire humility. We got to be humble. The heroes who will fuel your zeal are those who draw the spotlight to God and not themselves. That's a tough, tough deal to think about and try to always do. The Corinthians were prone to exalting preachers like celebrities. So Paul reminded them, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. That's over in 2 Corinthians 4 and 7. I know through the office at times, I have people that come in and make comments about, especially around these, what do they call these big awards things I'll have on TV, the Oscars and all those type of things. They'll come in and they're talking about people. I have no idea who they're talking about. I mean, I just don't watch that stuff. And so I said, now who's this? Oh, you know who that is? They did. They name all this type of stuff. So I always try to sneak in there some type of place. Now, where do you go to church at? Guess what? I'm not going right now. But yet they'll watch the celebrities, and they got them put up on a pedestal, but yet they can't go to church and put our Lord and Savior on a pedestal, so to speak, okay? It's amazing how people can slide in doing those type of things and not thinking how they are. Whether you reflect on your hero's outstanding accomplishment or their bitter weaknesses, their lives are a reminder not to think of yourself too highly. No matter what great thing you might sacrifice or accomplish, all Christians are just jars of clay, privileged to carry a priceless message. Think about that. Jars of clay. You ever thought of yourself as a jar of clay? We came from dust. We're going to go back to dust. A jar of clay is going to break down back to dust, same way. So we're just a jar of clay, until that time comes, and then we'll return back to dust. Just a thought there, okay? The whole idea of trying to get across here is the aspect about how people, you know, they think about other things and they put other people on these pedestals, when those people, they don't care anything about God. Most of those celebrities, very, very few of them out there, you hear about being talk about any type of church. Which reminds me of another thing. Did y'all read today the Dalai Lama guy is going to step down. And when he dies, he's very frail. He's born in 35, so whatever that makes him. But wants to be cremated, and then there's some council they have that will announce and pick another Dalai Lama. Now, you know how they picked this guy? You know how they picked this guy? I'm going by what I read. I think he was 2 years old, 2 years or 2.5 years old. They came, they was going to different people, different ones, and there was things that was the Dalai Lamas, and they asked this child, showed them to him, and he started pointing, "This is mine, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine." And that's how they decided that he was the Dalai Lama in reincarnation as this 2 year old, because he picked out Dalai Lama's things. Now, I think most of us know most 2 year old kids will pretty well pick out about everything anyhow and claim it as their own. I read that and I thought, that is the dumbest thing. But anyhow, I just throw that out. We'll probably hear more and more about this in the news over the next whenever. But anyhow, when you hear that, just kind of throw that thought back in your mind and remember it for me. Regretful or rejoicing. How you respond to the Savior, okay? How are you going to respond? That's always the question, and that's the reason why at the end of each service, we offer the invitation, because we never know what a person's heart is, because so many times we walk in the door and whew, put on the church face, okay? But we walk out and we drop the church face, and the trials and tribulations of this world pile on that person's shoulders again, and they don't truly open up. But there are times the speaker may say something, or they're touched during a service, and the reason why we offer that invitation at the end of a service, because that can be the time that they come and pour their heart out and let people know that they have been a sinner, and they're praying to God for repentance, and they're going to turn their life around and ask for forgiveness. They've already done those things, and they know that. And it's time for them to take off that face they've been putting on, let people realize they've been having problems, and they're going to change their ways and do better. And we can't forget about that, because I've heard people at times ask, why do you always do an invitation? And that's part of that reason on that. Okay? Whether you reflect on your hero's outstanding accomplishments or their bitter weaknesses, their lives are a reminder not to think of yourself too highly. We never want to do that. No matter what great thing you might sacrifice or accomplish, all Christians are that jar of clay privileged to carry on that priceless message. And that's what we need to do every time we go out. Talk about letting our little light shine. That's one way to let it shine right there. From time to time, zealous Christians will get discouraged with their fellow man. Don't we all get discouraged with somebody else about something. That's just life. Like God looking out in the days of Noah, you may feel like every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. When it gets hard to see the good in others, your heroes are reminders that God uses imperfect people. From Noah's drunkenness to Sarah's doubts, you know the sins and weaknesses of these heroes well, because God did not omit them from the Bible. God didn't just, when he talked about them, he didn't just put on the good face. He put on the bad side too, so we can see that and we can learn from that and help us to be stronger and grow. If God used such men and women in the past, then God can certainly use those around you as well. Remember to judge not, but instead by hope all things. Okay? Hope all things. We got to attend Campbell Road Church of Christ up there. And the big church, okay? They do two services. And then do a service, a class, and a second service. I can accommodate everybody. And the preacher was their second preacher Sunday, and he talked about evangelism, and that was one of the big things. His sermon on that, talked about evangelism, and one of his points, he talked about the a poor person comes in, and you have them sit in the back, and the rich person comes in, oh, they come up here, and we sit in a certain spot, you know, get them the better spot. So that was one of his points he was talking about. And somewhere in there, he made a comment about we never know a person's heart. And that person who comes in, we're so quick to judge by looks sometimes that we're not judging or thinking about they're there because their heart's very heavy about something. And so then, so you don't know what you need to do, so you need to visit with them and see what you can do to help them learn more about God if they don't know God, whatever circumstance they're in. So he made some pretty good points there. And it was kind of interesting. There's a couple came in, not your typical Church of Christ couple. Sitting from the back, you think the guy was a woman. His hair was longer than hers, actually, type situation. Wasn't dressed the best. Had a little boy that was probably 4 or 5-ish, somewhere's in there. Bingo, they already had earrings in him. And of course, they were tattooed, piercings, nose rings, all that type of stuff. So you get an idea the type of couple that came in. And but after services, it was interesting how many people were flocked around them talking to him. The guys had him talking to him, and some of the ladies were visiting with her, and you would have thought that couple was a celebrity all of a sudden. So, but of course, I understand the preacher just talked about evangelism too. But it was kind of interesting to watch and see all that going on that. So there's a lot of things we never know. So we've got to be careful not to judge before you know a person's heart, what's actually going on in their life. Paul's past was complicated. On one hand, he was a hero. He was a hero in the eyes of the Pharisees. Think about that. Paul was a hero. I mean, Paul was an educated man, but he was a hero for as the Pharisees are concerned. His circumcision, tribal lineage, reputation for strictness, and zeal for persecuting the church made him a model member of their sect. Okay? He was a model member of that. But on the other hand, he considered himself the chief of sinners for the horrible way that he treated the Christians. Remember, he would go around and have them arrested and thrown in jail. How long he served. He was treated the Christians. Now, how long he served. We read in 1 Timothy, let me see here. 1 Timothy 15:1-15. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost. Paul recognized, he realized, he was a sinner. He was a bad sinner because of what he had done to Christians before he was converted. In Philippians 3:4-14, we read about Paul. He kind of explains about his past. Although I myself could boast as having confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he is confident in the flesh, I have more reason. Circumcised of the eighth day, the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, the persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss because of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them mere rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if somehow I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now that I have already grasped it all, or have been ready, already become perfect, but I press on, if I may also take hold of that for which I was even taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself as having taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God is Christ Jesus. When things get tough, when the trials get heavy, when the tribulations get heavy, we always have to keep that in mind, the end. Keeping the faith, keeping true to the Lord and Christ, that's what our goal is. Sometimes we kind of get sidestepped and realizing that other things have dragged us down, then that way we can come back. So when you get confused, overwhelmed, distracted, heroes like Paul, they can help you refocus on what matters the most. You may still have to deal with the consequences of your past choices. Life is full of choices. Every day we make choices. But the choices we're talking about is what's going to get you to heaven type situation. You do not have to be defined by the guilt or scars of the past, because you can come to the Lord and obey his will. And through that process, be saved. Many Bible heroes left behind lives of horrible sin and went on to accomplish great things in God's kingdom. And you can do the same thing. Paul calls out the entire local church as a great example of faithfulness in Romans 1:8. There continue to be churches and saints across the world whose zeal burns brightly. They don't think of themselves as heroes, but most heroes never do. For example, there are modern heroes teaching and training our young Christians in Bible classes and camps, preaching and spreading the word of God around the globe, and caring for orphans and widows and poor and the sick, and using their hospitality and talents to build up the local church. We all have a talent. We need to use those talents to the best of our ability. Our take-home point this evening: no one can outshine Jesus Christ, the ultimate author and perfecter of our faith. No one can outshine him. He and all Bible heroes inspire Christians to go big, to be humble, to see good in others, and to let go of the past. I want y'all to think about who your favorite Bible hero is. Think about it. Everybody usually has one of the Bible heroes you like better than somebody else, okay? So think about who your favorite one is. I won't ask right now, but I want y'all to think about that. Good to be back, and I'll see y'all next Wednesday. Thank y'all.